I thank you for tuning in this evening. This is normally our prayer meeting, and I'd like to encourage you as a family even to gather around the family altar and to spend time this evening in prayer for our people and for our nation at this time. I wish to draw your attention this evening to the 27th Psalm. The psalmist says in the opening verse of that psalm, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" My attention was drawn the other day to a particular headline. It read, "Coronavirus or coronavirus fear, which is more dangerous?" There is no doubt that as the virus spreads, more and more people are becoming anxious. In fact, fear seems to be spreading quicker than the virus itself. In Italy, there have been prison riots resulting in the death of at least 6 inmates. Even a distant cough causes the cold shivers to run down our spine. None of us are exempt from fear. In the opening words of this psalm, we find the psalmist asking, "Of whom shall I be afraid?" The word "afraid" here means to be in dread of, or to be intimidated by. Being intimidated by his enemies, he then said in verse 13, "I have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord." He confesses that unless he had looked away from those enemies breathing down his neck and had looked away to the goodness of God, he would have fainted. Of course, when a person faints, they immediately become inactive. Their body becomes limp. They can no longer run, walk, or even crawl. And fear entering into the heart, it not only brings panic, but it also brings paralysis. It causes the soul to faint. In the New Testament, a certain king going into a far country, he summoned his servants together, giving to one 5 talents and to another 2 talents. He gave to another 1 talent. Why? The first 2 traded their talents, making a profit. The other hid his talent in the ground. Being asked why, he said in Matthew chapter 25 and in the verse 25, "I was afraid." And fearing what his master might say or do, if he lost the talent that had been given to him, he took it and he hid it in the ground. In other words, he did absolutely nothing. Fear not only intimidates, but it leads to inactivity. It is the number one reason why many Christians do not witness or work for the Lord. It is also the reason why many, while discovering the will of God, they do not perform His will in their lives. In his inaugural address as President of the United States of America, Franklin D. Roosevelt said in 1933, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And if fear is not conquered in your heart, it will eventually conquer you. It will cause you to faint, becoming silent, inactive, doing nothing for the Lord. Nothing should be feared more than fear itself. It needs to be driven out of our hearts. More than that, it needs to be driven out of our minds. And if you're not to be paralyzed even by the present situation in which we are, there needs to be a dealing with fear, a driving of those fears out of the heart and out of the life. And so for a few moments, I want to consider the psalmist's remedy when fear came knocking at his heart's door. You notice firstly here, he remembered the provision of God. He said in that opening verse, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Notice here the personal pronoun. In fact, it appears in this psalm in one form or another, no less than 19 times. He was here remembering what the Lord had personally done for him. Indeed, enlarging on this in the following verse, he remembered a time when the enemy coming in as a flood, the Lord had stepped in. And stepping in, he had delivered him. In fact, he may have in mind that fearful day when he had gone one to one with the mighty giant Goliath and had won. Or it may be been that day when he was surrounded by an army of seasoned warriors and overcame the treachery of Absalom. And looking back and remembering everything that the Lord had done in, with, and for him, he said, "Of whom shall I be afraid?" And the workings of God in the past are not only historical, but they are helpful. They can calm our fears and help us to conquer our foes. Indeed, the prodigal son, ending up in a pigsty, his money gone, he finally came to his senses. Casting his mind back, we read in Luke chapter 15, and in the verses 17 and 18, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father.'" It was when he remembered the goodness of his father that he was able to overcome the fears concerning going home. When afraid, rather than retreating, remember. Remember the goodness and the mercies of God in your life. How often people say to us today, forget the past. Forget the past, and you will end up fearing the future. Are you afraid? Are you afraid for yourself, your children, perhaps your elderly parents in the midst of this pandemic? Then remember. Remember how the Lord saved you, how he has strengthened you in the past. Remember how he has sheltered you. And as you remember those things, it will quell those fears that often rage within. For that reason, could I encourage you to read of the workings of God. Read of his great workings in the pages of Scripture. Read of his working in the pages of history. And each event will slay a fear in your heart and in your life. Let us remember. Remember what God has done. And it will calm those fears. But not only did he remember the provision of God, but he also recalled the presence of God. He said in that verse 1, "Whom shall I fear?" When we look back on his life, we find there were many fears that filled his heart. In the cave of Adullam, things became so difficult that he feared not only for his own life, but for the life of his parents. However, remembering that his father's grandmother was originally from the land of Moab, he approached its kings, he requested political asylum for them. And as such, in verse 10, he now confesses that while they would leave him for the relative safety of the land of Moab, the Lord would not leave him. He said, "The Lord will take me up." You see, in the darkness there was light. The Lord would be with him. And God's presence is not passing, but it is permanent. He will never leave nor forsake us, no matter the circumstances. Indeed, of all the patriarchs, Jacob was known as the son of tribulation. Fleeing from his father's house and missing his mother's love, the Lord appearing to him in the darkness of the night, he said in Genesis chapter 28 and the verse 15, "I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest." And going before him, he led him to Pandarim. There his father-in-law wickedly and wrongfully cheated him. However, the Lord did not forsake him. Being with him, he caused his herds to multiply. Eventually returning home, his tribulations were not over. Famine sweeping through the land, he not only lost Joseph, but he thought that he had also lost Simeon, and he had lost Benjamin. Lifting up his voice, he had cried out, "All these things are against me." But in reality, they were not against him. The Lord being with them and bringing them down into the land of Egypt, he was reunited with them. You see, the Lord never, never never, not even for a moment, left or forsook him. And the Lord not only saves us, but he stays with us. He never, under any circumstances, leaves nor forsakes us. Godly Samuel Rutherford, arrested for his faith, he was thrust into a cold, damp prison cell in Aberdeen. Writing from his prison cell 3 centuries ago, he wrote, "Jesus Christ came into my prison cell last night, and every stone in it glowed like a ruby." Why should we fear people or problems or persecutions? Or even for that matter, why should we fear this pandemic? The Lord is with us. Oh, at times you may not be aware of his presence. Mary coming unto the garden, she was at first not aware of the Lord's presence. Nevertheless, the Lord was there. And there may be those times in your life when the storms roar and the clouds become dark that you're not aware of his presence. Nevertheless, remember, the Lord will be there. He will be there standing somewhere in the shadows. Why do we not need to fear? Because the Lord is with us. Notice also he requested the path of God, entering down into the darkness of conflict. He said in that verse 1, "The Lord is my light. Whom shall I fear?" Of course, light is essential for life. More than that, it drives back the darkness, scattering the murky clouds. It reveals the path that is before us. And in calling the Lord his light, he was indicating here that the Lord would direct him, or that the Lord would reveal to him his path. In fact, knowing this, he cried out in verse 11, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path." He knew that the Lord would guide him. We need not fear the darkness. Why? Because the Lord is our light. He will lead us through it. Indeed, speaking to the Roman converts, Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and the verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The word "led" here, being in the present tense, it indicates a continuous action. In other words, he was saying that the Lord, no matter their situation, no matter the strife, that he would continue to lead them. And as the student is led by the teacher, and the traveler by his guide, so the Spirit leads the child of God. He leads them by internal and by external promptings. A young minister on one occasion visiting the famous preacher F.W. Boreham in New Zealand, he entering into his home, he asked the godly man, "Can a man be sure that in the hour of his perplexity, he will be rightly led by God? Can he feel secure against making a false step?" The godly old minister looked up, and with a smile he said, "I am certain of it. If he will but give God time, as long as you live, remember to just give God time. Even when you are outnumbered and overwhelmed, you need not fear." Why? Because if only you wait upon the Lord will not forsake you. And more than that, the Lord will guide you. The Lord knows the way. He has laid down a path for you to walk in. And if only you take time and wait before him, he will lead you through the darkness. He will give you a task to do. He will show you where you should be. But notice lastly that he rested in the protection of God. He said in verse 5, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me." In olden times, the kings going out to battle, they always took with them their royal pavilion. It was a large, decorated, splendid tent being erected at the end of the day's march. It being set in the very center of the camp. The rest of his armies then encamped around about it. In other words, the king entering into his pavilion, he was surrounded by his armies. And instead that the Lord would place him in his pavilion, he was here indicating that the Lord would protect him. And you know, the Lord is our shield, and he is our defender. He surrounds us on every side by his omnipotence. In fact, the word hide in verse 5 means to conceal. In other words, he was saying that the enemy coming up, that they would not even be able to find them. And in Christ, we are not only sheltered, but we are secluded. Without divine permission, the enemy cannot draw near us. In fact, they cannot even see us. Oh, believer, what a truth that is ours today. We are surrounded by the Father. We're surrounded by Christ. We're surrounded by his angels. Like the apple of the eye, we have many layers of protection. Why should we not fear? Because the Lord is our God. He is with us. He will hide us in his pavilion. He will keep us safe. And in drawing the psalm to a close, he then gives them another remedy for fear. He said in that verse 14, wait, I say, on the Lord. He told them to wait on the Lord. And it is as we wait in his presence that our fears are evaporated. This is normally our prayer meeting. And in light of that, in this day when fears abound in every hand, could I encourage you to gather with your family before the throne of God? Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And he shall strengthen you. And he shall guide you. And he will scatter those fears as far as the east is from the west. What a truth. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?